Good morning, 707 at WRJN Local News. Timeless Hits. His Honor, Racine Mayor Corey Mason is with us today. Let's start off with the sad news.
Yeah.
Because yesterday we found out that Alder Molly Jones from the 2nd District passed away.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you work with someone so close and they're not here anymore, it's kind of a sad thing. And it's sad for the entire city of Racine. But the Alders, you and your staff who work closely with her, it's sad because now you can't say anything to her anymore.
It's a huge loss. Molly was really one of the best public servants I've ever had the privilege of serving with. She wasn't one who wanted to be at the front of the line at a press conference, and she didn't give the biggest speeches on the floor of the council. But boy, she worked hard for her constituents. It seemed like she knew every single one of them by name, and you could drive around her district with her, and she knew, you know, every pothole that she wanted addressed in the alleys, or she knew what was going on with the constituents and they needed home repair, or what was going on at the Bryant Center. I mean, she was just really incredibly active. And we got to work together to restore some of the bricks on College Avenue. She was really proud of the work that we did on that. She cared deeply about, her chairmanship as the Public Works and Services Committee. And she just also just cared passionately about voter access, right? As somebody who, I think in the 2020 election, she brought a woman who lived on Racine Street who'd been voting at that address since Harry Truman ran in 1948 and wanted to be sure that she could get to the poll. So Molly was just, she was just one of these wonderful public servants. Not at all about getting the credit or being in front, but boy, she worked hard for her constituents, and the 2nd District really benefited from that, but so did the whole city. So I will feel the loss of a colleague, but also a dear friend. She was just a sweet, kind woman who cared deeply about her community.
Well, we have a podcast with Molly Jones, the Alder Jones, online. You can hear it. It was from March 20th of last year. She was running for re-election, and she didn't want to do it because she was nervous about it. And I said, just give me a conversation. Yeah, but I know maybe you'll ask me something. I'm not going to ask you anything. I'm just gonna forget. And after it was done, she said, oh, this was fun. We could do this again. So if you want to hear the podcast, it was an hour-long podcast with Alder Molly Jones. And you can get it at WRJN.com, civicmedia.us, the Civic Media app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's everywhere. Just type in Don Rosen Show. Go to March 20th of 2024, and you'll see it right there with Molly Jones. It's a really interesting interview because when she started talking and got over the fear of being interviewed, she was very nice, and it was very good. And now the 2nd District, where people don't know, where is the 2nd District?
Yeah, good question. So it's over by the Bryant Center, sort of that College Avenue where mm-hmm. the historic district is, sort of from the lake.
Lake Oaks.
Yeah, in that area, the SCJ campus on Howe Street there to Racine Street. So it was that neighborhood.
That's a nice neighborhood, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's got a lot of diversity in the neighborhood. The neighborhood changes sort of quickly, but she was also just really, again, just one of these people who was always like, can we do this? And what's going on with this property over here? And
that's one of those historic districts in town.
It is.
You're right. It's got the bricks.
It does. So some of our nicest historic homes, but also some neighborhoods that could use some love. And she was always really interested in trying to figure out what we could do to lift everybody up.
Well, that's good. And she left a good legacy. You know, I mentioned to you before we went on the air, on your tombstone, you have the date you were born, the date you die, and you had a dash, and your entire life is that dash.
Yeah.
The birth and death, that's 1 second, but the dash is how you do it. And obviously she had a good life, and I'm glad I got to meet her that day.
Yeah, great public servant. Also, her son Terry is retired from our police department, and so a lot of public service in that family, and our hearts go out to, obviously, not just her colleagues on the council, but her family and her friends that will be feeling her loss. So our deepest sympathy to Molly Jones's family, and what a loss for the community. What a loss.
It is Black History Month, February. It is. And a lot of activities going on all over the country and also in Racine.
Yeah.
What do we have?
So one of the things, there's lots of things that we try to do where we acknowledge some of the first in the city of Racine, but we also wanted to do a little bit to acknowledge some of the African-American historical figures that are local, right? I mean, oftentimes you hear about Black History Month and you'll hear about a national figure or national story. So if you go to City Hall right now, there's five posters up there that acknowledge five local African-American leaders that we wanted to point out. And if it's okay, I'll go through just a couple of them. And
go ahead. Talk about,
so the first of which, and if people don't know this story, they should really learn it. The Joshua Glover story is a great story here locally. He was a runaway slave who had settled here in Racine, and this is before the Civil War, Fugitive Slave Act, and he was taken into custody and taken up to Milwaukee, and some abolitionists from Racine went up to Milwaukee, broke him out of jail, and sent him on his way to freedom to Canada. It's a really remarkable story of resilience and not only Joshua Glover, you know, escaping from slavery, but the Racine community's efforts to resist slavery and overturn that terrible institution. The other is Corinne Reed Owens, who was one of the first African-American teachers here in the community.
That's the bus. Is the bus
transit
depot.
Center.
The transit center
is named in her honor. Yeah, absolutely. But she, longtime activist, you know, sometimes people called her Racine's Rosa Parks. You know, she was one of the people early on making sure that things were getting integrated. I had the pleasure of meeting her when I was in the state assembly and actually honored her as a hometown hero at one point. But huge legacy of first and making sure that we were doing everything we could to honor her. Another person I wanted to mention is a guy named Blue Jenkins. William Blue Jenkins was a local labor leader here, who African-American guy, and one of the first successful African-American leaders within the labor movement here locally, but even in the country, and led integrated sit-down strikes to give workers rights on a lot of factories on that Memorial corridor, the Memorial Street corridor that was there. And integrated strikes were a tough thing to do, but he managed to pull it off. And then after he retired from that, spent the remainder of his life trying to get young people into the skilled trades and get people into family-supporting wage jobs. So real great person. Another person I want to mention is Pastor Mark Gates, who was also a city employee who was unfortunately killed when he was picking up trash on an icy winter day, but a great local pastor who could bring people together, and a great city servant who died in the line of his work for the city. And the last person that we want to acknowledge, that we've acknowledged, is Congresswoman Gwen Moore. And people think, isn't she the congresswoman from Milwaukee? She is. But she is a Racine native. She grew up here. She's from Racine and talks about growing up here very fondly. And when she comes back, she always describes Racine as the center of the universe. So as far as I know, she's the only Racine native who's gone on to serve in Congress. So we're lucky to claim her as part of our legacy as well. So those are five local leaders throughout history. Some, you know, one in Congress today, some going back more than 150 years ago. But as we celebrate Black history, it feels like a good thing to acknowledge local historical figures.
Next year when you come in, we're going to add Molly Jones to that list.
Yeah, absolutely.
I heard this, and I don't know if it's true or not. Did the Underground Railroad run through Racine?
It did.
Okay, I heard that, and I wasn't sure.
So First Presbyterian Church is the most easily confirmed of those sites. And certainly the now we've had the Interior Department acknowledge that as a site. But yeah, we have several sites here. But if people haven't had the chance, I mean, I would certainly encourage you to go to the Racine Heritage Museum that the county runs. They've got a whole story about the Joshua Glover story and the Underground Railroad. But we have several sites within the city of Racine and Racine County that were part of the Underground Railroad. And, you know, people, I had to explain this to my kids when they were in elementary school taking social studies. It's like, it's not literally a railroad underground. It's not like a subway. But it was a network of people who worked with each other to help people escape. So First Presbyterian Church right downtown is one of those sites. And
really?
There,
okay.
And there are others as well. And we've worked to put some historical markers out on where those locations were. The old Porter site was, mm-hmm. which is now cleared, was one of those sites.
Was it really?
Yeah. Okay. So there's... but we should talk about that another time. We can actually go through the different sites. There's several in the city, but then there's several out in the county as well.
Huh. Yeah. Be a live and learn when you come in here.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to be enrich my knowledge. WRJN. Yeah, it's 7:20 local news time. Let's hit to WRJN. It is a Friday, February 7th. His honor, we're seeing Mayor Corey Mason is with me. A few weeks ago, I had on Charlie Tennyson. He made a documentary on the YMCA. You have a non-speaking cameo role in that film. Okay. Because you didn't speak, you didn't have to join the union. So that's good. Anyway, so you're in there for just a fleeting second. It's a real short cameo role. And it's about the YMCA. And he traces the history to all the YMCAs in Racine. Yeah. I didn't realize how many there were.
Yeah.
And this is the third YMCA Racine had. Now there's a fourth right there on State Street. It's a smaller version.
Right.
But this was one of the YMCAs that they don't make anymore, where people live there with apartments. They don't do that anymore. But at one time they did. I remember when I worked at a radio station in Milwaukee at 7th of Wisconsin, there was a YMCA tower right near us. And I didn't realize people lived there. One of our disc jockeys lived in that building. Anyway, I didn't realize they had a restaurant in there. They had a nightclub in there.
Yeah, like a dance.
Some Tommy James and the Shondells appeared there. There were a lot of big groups that appeared in that YMCA. I didn't know any of this. So he gave me a link to watch it, a temporary link, and I watched it because, you know, I'm not from the area, but I do know the YMCA. And I was just shocked to see what went on in this YMCA, all these things. It was a vibrant building. Yeah. Everybody thinks of the YMCA, oh, I got to do push-ups and pull-ups now, and I got to work on the weight machine. And yes, that was there, but there was so much more, and people lived there.
Yeah.
And then it fell on hard times, and the way it is now, all the windows are broken, there's graffiti all over the building. And he did this documentary, and the people he interviewed were done right in front of the building. And he got permission to go behind the fences and film them right in front of the graffiti and the broken windows. It was kind of sad. I heard, and he's mentioned in the film, the city bought it for $12,500. And people said, well, that's cheap. I could have done that. Yes. Could you afford the millions to get rid of it?
That's right.
The cheap part is buying it. Now you got to get rid of this thing. What is the plan for that? It's a major building on the lakefront. I don't know how you take something like that down.
Yeah, and it's even harder than it looks. So, I mean, it's coming down now. And so there's actually demolition going on inside. They're doing the asbestos removal, which is, you know, always a large expense.
And expenses, yes.
Yeah, and there's an underground oil tank that needs to be taken out.
Underground storage tanks are the worst.
They are. But it is one of these things where, you know, once the Y really closed down there, it just they weren't able to secure the building or sustain it. And, you know, we kept having code violations and whatnot that we were getting to. And it just became clear that the Y wasn't going to have the capacity to maintain that building or even secure the building. And, you know, we got a notice from the fire chief at one point saying the building's in such disrepair. If there's a fire, we will extinguish it from the exterior, but we're not sending personnel inside that building anymore. It's just not safe. And so at that point you realize, okay, we can't just let this continue. So the city acquired it and waived the fees and fines that the Y would have normally paid if they were a different entity, and allowed them to, you know, not have to deal with the liability of it. And then we will spend about $1 million this year taking that building down and, you know, getting it to what they will call a clean site, which basically means that it can be redeveloped. But it is on a bluff, as I think people know. There's sort of a two-tiered parking space back there, one of which is sort of, you know, tilting towards the lake. And so it's a space that needs a lot of work before it could be redeveloped. But if we can get it to a place where it's at that point, you know, you'd love to see it have a second act as a site, because it's such a great site. But just back to the Y itself. I mean, yeah, it was, I mean, you know, the building was built in 63. I was born in 73. I learned to swim in that pool, you know.
I worked out there.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Dave Mack on the bicycle there.
I taught my kids to swim at that pool, because they had the one pool, but they had kind of the smaller, warmer pool that you go in. It was nice to be in the winter. Did a lot of activities growing up there. So it really served the community very well for about half a century. You know, Lighthouse Run would always start from that spot.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of legacy to that space. And so, you know, we hate to see the Y downsized to such a smaller footprint over on State Street. We're glad they're still here. But yeah, it would have been great if they could have preserved that building and continued. But I think once they built the newer one out in Mount Pleasant, the days of them maintaining two buildings of that size were unfortunately numbered.
Yeah. And it's sad to see it. I don't know how the windows on the top floor get broken. I can understand people throwing rocks at the lower ones. We're talking, if you can throw a rock at that upper window, you're working for the Brewers.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening from the outside. I think it's happening from the inside.
No, nobody's in there. They don't want people in there.
People break in all.
Oh, do they?
So, yeah, so part of the decision about demolition for it is people.
And there was a drug user he died there on the site.
Yeah.
And they mentioned that in the film.
So it just became unsafe to have the building continue. And so the city had to step in and provide some leadership there and take over the site. And, you know, my prediction is by the 4th of July, If I'm walking past you on the parade route, if you're going to be on the route, my prediction is by then, the building should be completely down by then.
Prime real estate for somebody.
Yeah. I mean, conceivably, again, you know, we have to do the environmentals, make sure it's a clean site, that it's a stable site. Again, people sort of think, oh my gosh, the views are amazing. And they are. But you got to get through the liability of taking that building down and getting a clean site together before it's developable.
Wow. Watch the documentary if you get a chance. I don't know where it's going to be shown next. It was at the Historical Society yesterday. They had a showing, and they had one at George's Encore, too. And he'll get it around. It runs about an hour. It's very good. I worked out there a few times, but I never knew the history of it.
Yeah.
I just showed up there. The parking lot was just horrendous. It was just nothing but potholes. It was like a video game course, trying to get your car around without breaking an axle in there. His Honor Racine Mayor Corey Mason, you're going to hang in for our movie segment for a few minutes.
I'll listen for a few minutes. Happy to hear about it.
With Brett Marcus, with Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters.